All right, let's pick up again with the book of Ephesians. Let's start with a little bit of an overview. The book of Ephesians is written to the believers at where? Ephesus. That's why we call it Ephesians. Ephesus was the queen city of Asia Minor. It was the capital of the province. And even back in those days, it had a population of 340,000 people. Jasper, Georgia doesn't have 340,000 people. Even L&J, Georgia doesn't have 340,000. We don't have what? We don't have 34,000 people. It was a huge city. It was just 3 miles from the Aegean Sea on the Caistor River. It was a beautiful place. Think of the Aegean Sea. Have you ever seen a movie, Mamma Mia, which is set on a little theoretical island off Greece? That's the Aegean Sea, how beautiful the water is and the coast. It's just a gorgeous place. It was noted for its great temple of Diana, also called Artemis. Remember how Paul was attacked as they were singing, "Great is the God of the Ephesians, Diana"? It was also noted for the shrine of Serapis, which was an Egyptian idol. So it was a seat of pagan idolatry. It was known for its rich culture. Its religion was what's called Oriental. That is, even though it's full of pagan idolatry, it was a seat of Gnosticism. Gnosticism, where they tried to reach godhood through specialized knowledge and learning increments and ascending, much like in the Mormon doctrine. You go through certain stages of the Mormon temple, and then you get to become a god. Just like they say that Jesus was just a human being like you and I. God was just a human being like you and I. And each of them ascended to godhood, that you and I can do the same thing. That's Gnosticism. And it was a seat of ascetic Gnosticism. Here, both in Ephesians, in Ephesus, and in Colossae, where they wrote the book of Colossians. So in both of those books, Paul's going to have a lot to say about ascetic Gnosticism. The ascetic part of ascetic Gnosticism meant, in order to rid yourself of your earthly sphere and ascend to godhood, you must deny yourself all earthly pleasures. If you like a good T-bone steak, you can't eat it. Oh my goodness, no, that would be pleasureful, and you can't have it. Drink a glass of wine, oh no, wine is pleasurable, can't have it. Marriage, can't enter into marriage because sexual relations with women, that's pleasurable, you can't have it. So you have to deny yourself all earthly pleasure in order to gain your godhood. And we're going to read a lot about the principles of ascetic Gnosticism in Paul's writings. And it's so misunderstood by the traditional Christian theologians who think Paul is lambasting the Torah. He's not talking about the Torah or Judaism at all, but ascetic Gnosticism. It's known for its rich culture, its Oriental religion, its Greek philosophy, its Roman government, and its worldwide commerce. And everywhere the ships went, when they took the commerce, what else did they take with them? Paganism and ascetic Gnosticism. Gnosticism is not a religion, it's a philosophy. And it gets intertwined with religions around the globe. Many different religions have elements of Gnosticism, like I mentioned Mormonism. If you look at, let me just stick with that. I'll get enough letters as it is there. Okay. Paul visited Ephesus briefly in his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 18, verses 18 to 22. If you remember, Priscilla and Aquila, they stayed behind in Ephesus as Paul moved on. So he visited the place, introduced Priscilla and Aquila, gave them a teaching position in the congregation, and moved on. But Paul came back on his third missionary journey and preached in Ephesus for 3 years. It was a major spot of Pauline doctrine. And the Apostle John pastored at Ephesus after that, after 70 Common Era, after the fall of the temple. When he left Jerusalem, he went to Ephesus and preached at Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is what's called a prison epistle. That is, it's written by the Apostle Paul, but he's incarcerated between 61 and 63 Common Era. Imprisoning Paul did nothing to stop the gospel. Just instead of preaching in person, he wrote letters and sent letters around the world. And the letters were meant to be circular letters, that is, to be read not just in the congregation to which it was addressed, but to be circulated among the congregations and read among all the congregations. And he wrote this epistle about the same time he wrote Colossians. And it had four major purposes. First, to confirm the church as a divine institution. That is, that it was God's intent to call out an assembly who believed in Messiah Yeshua, to spread the gospel and keep the gospel message alive. Second purpose was to confirm that Messiah is the head of the church. It's his. He's the head. We all owe our allegiance to him. Third, that salvation is only through Messiah, saved by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's from Ephesians chapter 2. And finally, that salvation changes the way we live. It's the same thing we're just talking about in Galatians, that if you've been saved by faith, your life will show it. What was in the news this week? Many of us have talked about it at earlier Hebrew classes and stuff. One of the items in the Prophecy in the News email that went out was the United Methodist Church. One of their propositions that they introduced this summer as their changes in doctrine was they want to promote changes in the law to decriminalize drug abuse and prostitution. Because to them, that's victimless crimes, doesn't do any harm. So what? We're saved by faith. Who cares? That's not the way Paul writes. Paul says salvation changes the way we live. That's the heart of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? His answer was, no way. What did John say in 1 John? He said, if you're not walking according to the principles of God, it's because you're not saved. So those are the four purposes of Paul's writing this epistle. It's nicknamed a couple of things. It's first nicknamed the Heavenly Epistle because Paul talks a lot about heaven and why we want to go there. And second, it's called the Alps of the New Testament. Alps is in the mountain range. That the theology in the book of Ephesians is just the highest level of Pauline doctrine. That's what they're trying to say. Of course, men gave him those names, not God. So with that, you ready for chapter 1? Verse 1. Let me sort out my notes a little bit here so I can read the pages. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, that just tells us who wrote it. All Pauline epistles, except the book of Hebrews, if that's a Pauline epistle, and that's debated, but I think it is, they normally all start out with who wrote it. Paul, an apostle. The word apostle comes from the Hebrew sheliach. It means a sent one. Meaning he starts out by saying, I, Paul, didn't write this because I got up one day and said, let me drop out of the Sanhedrin and become a rebel and preach the gospel. I don't know. No, he was sent by the Lord. The Lord met him on the road to Damascus, appeared to him and said, Paul, why are you kicking against the goad? That hurts. And let me stop beating you with it. And I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul was thinking when God said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles? Paul, the Pharisees, he never touched a Gentile. He would have been caught dead having a meal with a Gentile. And now he's going to preach the gospel to them. Just shows the Lord has a sense of humor.
I have a yeah.
Yeah, but go ahead.
It says, is this the real word? To the saints that are in Ephesus, right?
We haven't got there yet, but okay.
I thought you did.
Nope.
It says, his here that they thought that this letter was sent to the Colossians.
This letter's to the Ephesians.
I know, but it says in my little notes here that they thought this might have been sent to the Colossians.
Then I just take my little pencil and strike through that note.
They say that.
It says to the saints who are in Ephesus, which I think is fairly clear.
Yeah, and it goes on from there.
Well, just ignore that. Let's go back to the Word of God. We're still in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, a sent one. Now it says of Yeshua the Messiah, but it's as good a translation to say by Yeshua the Messiah, which is what Paul's trying to get at, is he didn't choose to go on these missionary journeys. The Lord sent him. And the Lord sent him, why? By the will of God. So as Messiah said in John 14, the words that you hear are not mine, but my Father's who sent me. Even so, when Messiah appeared to Saul, who comes to be called Paul, on the road to Damascus, it was because God said, go grab this man, who's the biggest pain in our thigh, right? The biggest persecutor of the believers, and change his path. So it was by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Messiah Yeshua. That word saints requires us to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, chapter 4. Psalms, chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. What were the Psalms? They were the songbook of Israel. Yet they're so full of prophecy. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. When it says him who is godly, that's what they mean here, what Paul means by the saints. Those that have been saved by faith and are walking uprightly before the Lord because of the faith and the love they have for the Lord. Who are in Ephesus, and we learned where Ephesus is. That's in Asia Minor, which we now today, what do we call Asia Minor?
Turkey.
Yep. So you could say he wrote it to the Turkeys, but they weren't called that back then. The saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Messiah Yeshua. So they have the testimony of Messiah and walk according to the commandments of God. That reminds me of Revelation chapter 12 verse 17 and chapter 14 verse 12. Revelation 12, 17, I realize is after the rapture, the believers have been caught out of this world, then 144,000 Jews are going to be saved, sealed by God with the Holy Spirit and sent out to preach the gospel message like 144,000 Apostle Paul's. And many people are going to come to the Lord, and they're described for us in Revelation 12, 17 and Revelation 14, 12. First, Revelation 12, 17 says, and the dragon, that's Satan, was enraged with the woman, that's Israel, went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those are the believers, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. So we would call them messianic believers. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua. And then Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And with that, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Where does time go? So we'll have to stop here. We'll pick up next week, Lord willing, with Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll finish verse 1, which is kind of like we'll start next week, huh? With that, I'll turn off the tape. We'll close in prayer. What time is service tomorrow?
6 o'clock.
And it'll go till about 9 because we can't light the Hadlock candle till the sun goes down. And the sun hasn't been going down until really late recently. So let me turn off the tape.